Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin Ohassan. As always, with me, Big Jerv and Black Trey. Big Jerv is on the production today, as our producer Sean is out there living the good life. I won't even say where he at. He overseas, y'all. Overseas, different time zones. This man is living life, experiencing things. But you know what you could be experiencing? Patreon.com/countthedings. Sign up. Make sure you are a subscriber. You get all the special edition Cinephobe episodes like we did Space Jam, A New Legacy, not too long ago. It's up there with all the other special edition episodes. You also get the live shows. We do this every other Wednesday. We get good turnouts, great conversation, different faces across the bomb and Count the Dings network. People don't usually always collaborate. Like the other day, it was me, it was Trey, and it was Meek and Anthony Mays. So, you know, get different groupings and pairings in there and great conversation. We take your questions, obviously, and we just kind of chop it up. And, of course, let's not forget the Bomb Overflow episodes. And guess what? We got another one coming today. So patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you are a subscriber. As I said, great episode headed for you today. We're going to remember some anniversaries of some classic albums. 8701 from Usher came out this date 20 years ago. Good Lord. Also 20 years ago, Philly's Most Wanted. Jerv is going to take us on and walk down memory lane as he remembers what he feels like is one of the most underrated groups of all time. We also get into our new show that we're reviewing. That's an old show. We're reviewing Oz, the HBO show. You can catch it on HBO Max. Just look it up. We're doing two episodes a week. We talk about the legacy of Oz, and we talk about, you know, some fun shit that happened in the first two episodes. We, as always, are going to review Power. You know it. Power is very powerific. I'll define it. Just stay tuned right here as we go into the latest of what's happening with Young Kanan and the Stash House getting hit while he was there. But first, there was a versus battle that happened the other day between the Locks and Dipset. I don't know why I called it a battle. It wasn't a battle. It was a massacre. Jerv and Mari had the one and only Poobs on, and so Jerv starts telling us about that. Man, that versus battle was crazy. You guys had Poobs on, right?
Yeah, we chopped it up with Poobs. He gave us some real dope insight on how everything played out. You know me, I was curious how that mixtape part came about. He let us know about that, you know what I mean? And he dropped some we had to let him talk his talk. The man is the Phil Jackson of the fucking it's the Phil Jackson of the playlist for the verses.
I don't know. I mean, I follow him on Instagram. He was talking shit way before. Like, he knew. They knew. That's the funniest thing is that everyone on their side knew what it was going to be. Not like knew going to be like, oh, we're going to demolish them or whatever. But beyond that, they knew like, oh, yeah, this isn't even going to be close because we're organized and they are not. And so I thought that was the funniest thing for me.
They had every counter predicted. The only counter, and we talked about this on the Rat Names podcast with Poobs. The only counter that they didn't have was the girl record. That was all the DJ. Yeah. Crazy to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so that was just it's a sample. Like, it was a unit. Everybody was in sync. But I don't care. I don't give a fuck if Dipset would have put on the greatest show of their lives. He still would have got watched. I'm sorry.
Would have got watched. Again, check out Rap Names Podcast right here on the Bomb Network. They had Poobs, famous collaborator with Lox, D-Block, all of that. And obviously one of the orchestrators of one of the most lopsided versus battles we've ever seen. So definitely check out Rap Names with my man Jerv and Mari right here on the Bomb Network. But let me get into this Power, man. And this show is becoming very powerific.
Explain powerific.
Powerific is like, you know, in any show that you watch, any TV show, any movie, there's got to be some element of suspension of disbelief. Meaning you go sit here and rationally say, now, that would never happen in real life. But like movies and TV shows, they expect you to kind of just, all right, man, let it slide just so that we can tell the story. But some movies and TV shows do it way better than others. And so the ones that don't do it well, the suspension of disbelief gets harder and harder. And then you hit powerific levels where it's just like, come on, bro. But then you just like, Jerv taught me this. Like every time I start questioning, like, hey man, it's power. And I'm like, yeah, that's right.
It's power, bro.
So power. I'll give you guys an example. Hey, we're gonna move the Stash House. from this location to that location. That happens in real life. Drug dealers do this. You can't leave the stash house at the same place because then you become targeted and vulnerable. Hey, we're going to move the stash house and have one dude do it.
That has no experience, no gun.
No,
and it's broad daylight too, by the way.
Before it even gets to Kanan being involved in it, I'm just saying, hey, Marv, you're gonna move the stash house. All right, cool. Let me get the one guy, and even if dude had been available, again, you got two dudes and both of y'all boxing stuff up and nobody watching the front door. And nobody think about compare and contrast with like Snowfall. Remember the dude at the stash house with the shoddy, like just sitting there looking at the door with a shoddy, right?
Any stash house you've ever seen on any platform ever has had a dude with a shotgun.
It's crazy.
At the door.
It's crazy for your permanent guy to have diarrhea though.
Yeah.
like go ahead.
Like, no, yeah, he's just like, no, I can't go. I'm my ass.
Yeah, can we touch on that real quick? I feel like he was a little too demanding of what he was going to do. I'm sorry, anything I've ever seen when one of the top two to three people comes and tells you to do something, everyone does it. It doesn't matter what's going on.
The nigga's like, I don't give a fuck if you wear a diaper, nigga. You coming with me right now? You can shit yourself right now. Like, this nigga was just actually took that as like, hey, man, my ass is leaking. I'm like, what?
Hey, man. Feel better. In the most realistic form, diarrhea is probably the one thing you can get out of work without sick days. Like, no one's fighting that, bro. No one's fighting that. Like, because, again.
Wait, Jerv, you didn't know that he had diarrhea?
No. I just came up with a power theory. I'm
with that.
All right, let's hear it.
Yo, he's going to die. Diarrhea man dies, right? Because they're gonna think he set them up or whatever. There's no way that they're gonna think Kanan slipped up. And Reggie's gonna get his name's Reggie, right? Or am I thinking about his baller's name?
No, that's Marvin.
Reggie's from Ballers.
Reggie from Ballers. Right. Just call Reggie from Ballers.
Yeah, Reggie from Ballers. Like he has to get in trouble off this thing, right? Like,
yeah,
like, or yeah. Does Rock not say nothing?
No,
Rock is definitely going to say something because she found the shirt, but it's going to be the story is going to have to be so clean that it doesn't lead back to the brother. It's going to have to, like you said, it's going to have to be a scapegoat and it's going to be diarrhea man. But I also feel like it's going to be more consequences to it to make it even more go deep. But it was so much going on, right? I mean, Mince is the stash house part. But then you got the other brother dealing with some love shit, right? His shorty is over here trying to push her brother's career. So she's doing whatever it takes, top and bop. This is the life. Who knows if she's going to, you know, as in the words of coming. Dom Kennedy, never let your girlfriend kick it with no rappers. So I'm pretty sure she's going to go to the next level with that. But then also, bro from Ballers again, when he was sleeping with the white chick and he noticed that the dog didn't eat. And then also it's like, what brothers you been with that cuddle?
Niggas don't cuddle. And I was
niggas
like,
don't niggas cuddle. Don't cuddle.
Niggas don't cuddle. I cuddle.
Not back in the early 90s.
Early 90s, there was no cuddling.
Yeah, it was no cuddling allowed, my nigga.
Niggas wasn't cuddling, dog, back in the 90s, yo.
Think about that, bro. Cuddling killer. Who imagine. No, but you know what's funny? That's where it started, where niggas is embarrassed to loving their girls in public. Because the homies teasing you. Like, that nigga cuddle. He ain't no killer. Look at him. He the nigga who be, he the little spoon.
You remember Sopranos? I want to say it properly because I'm not trying to, you know, be all graphic. But, like, men could not please their partner, even if it was their wife. Other ways than, you know, normal, you know, penetration. You know what I'm saying? Like that was they found out Uncle Junior. They found out Junior did it, and it was just like, like he's like the fucking joke. And I'm like, yo, it's your wife. Like you can't. That's crazy. Man,
the wise
so it ain't just us. Nah, wise guys don't do that and wear shorts.
Sick rules, man. Sick rules.
Yeah. And but also Kanan, don't wear open toes.
Kanan is a wild boy. He gonna dodge a lot of bullshit that he's causing himself, obviously. You know, blowing up the spot, blowing up the safe house, the stash house. And then also just, you know, I think he gonna really fuck with his mom's dude now. That bruh tapped in. It was a good observation, though. He, you see his face? Like, oh, shit.
He yeah.
Like, all right, Ma, it makes sense now, my nigga. Like, you ain't really, you really ain't getting slashed for a reason. You getting slashed to help me, you know, move past, bro, because we need you to have that clean line if you're going to be out here in the streets. Because, you know, having a clean, like, having a good face, a good face card in public is a way to do the dirt just like Ghost.
No, nah, but that's not, yeah. That's not why he did it.
What you talking about?
She just wants him to
I think Rock has definitely got a hidden agenda. I feel like she got a hidden agenda.
You mean a hidden agenda with messing with Bull, not for Kane. Bro. Oh yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, no, that's too coincidental. That's too coincidental.
Right. Like there. My son need to graduate. My son need these extra shits for him to go to college. He fucking around. But also, I'm fucking one of the college professors to give me some extra courses. Like, nah, because that shit gonna be like, oh, you doing extra shit? You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna look good on his record. But then mom's getting bashed out just for a small barter.
Well, man, you know what I'm saying?
It's a barter, bro. Hey, whatever it takes.
Soprano did it. She did it. She did it when she was trying to get AJ into whatever school that was. Or keep him in school. Shit happens.
School there. Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe, maybe I'm just call me old softy. I think she really likes the guy.
Oh well, you know, after
it don't matter. The nigga gonna die eventually. So I ain't.
Well, yeah, one he's gonna die, but after a few bust downs, she was going to like him. Like, you know what I'm saying? That changes everything.
Yeah, I'm not even getting hung up on any character like anytime.
Wait. Stash house real fast, right? Ask y'all a question. Serious question. How close is this fucking stash house to her real crib? Because old girl been walking her baby in front of their real crib, and she's walking him in front of the stash house times of night. Like,
hey, how long is that walk that she taking?
Jesus, Christmas.
Hey,
that she doing laps. That
she trying to put that baby to sleep.
Her rings are getting closed every goddamn day on her Apple Watch.
Yo, that baby out there motherfucker bouncing like on them jagged concrete. Like, oh my God.
Yo, and is it me or did she give up the stash house way too fast?
Oh,
first of all, I didn't think he was, you know, full honesty, I didn't really think he was talking about the stash house when he was, you know, I thought he was being a creep, honestly.
Oh, you thought he was trying to beat?
I mean, that's the way his conversation sounded to me.
No, but that's how he talked.
That's how he was talking, bro.
He talks the whole show. Like, he talks to his own homies like that. Hey, man, like, he talks. I don't know. That's Joey Badass's way of, I guess, trying to be fucking sinister or whatever. But no, it's because he saw her talking to Kanan. So I don't think it was about the stash house. I think he was just saying, hey, whatever you got.
Yeah, he's just trying to hit her he's trying to hit Rock in the heart. Like, okay, cool. Oh, this is what niggas doing? All right, bet I'm gonna hit that. The next thing, okay, Kanan love old girl. I know his weak point. You know what I'm saying? Without having to do it. Cause like right now, they don't even know if Kanan in the mix yet. He got the shit off his back, but like he gonna get him. If you look at the
high, he don't yet.
But the thing is
not in the mix like that.
He don't know he in the mix like that. He didn't see him around, but he wasn't around. But
he knows he caught the body, though.
Yeah.
He knows that's Kanan's body.
Yeah.
No, no, they know Trey, that. He right, said it to Rock. Like they had a conversation about the body. Yeah.
No, he said he was associated with it. They didn't say it yet.
He knows. The conversation he had with Rock when they're trying to dead it.
Yeah, on the trade-off.
I know, but I make this shit go away, but the streets want a body. And that's why G Wiz or whatever his name is, right? G Wiz, D Wiz,
D Wiz,
D Wiz got killed. G Wiz, fucking Dennis the Menace. G Wiz,
man, G Wiz would actually be a sick name.
Yeah, but that's why D Wiz got right because Like, they knew. Unique, no. That's not the guy who did it, but they don't care. They just
Thirsty for street fame, though. He wanted to be home. He was bragging about it. Like, nigga, exactly, I caught the body.
I did it, yeah.
You know?
So he knows Kanan is mixed up, but he doesn't know, like, he don't know Kanan was at a stash house or Kanan is, like, on the product side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He just know Kanan, you know, a little knucklehead starting to get his feet wet in this business. But I think you're right, Jerv. They're going to turn around and they're going to think that Kung Pao Chicken was the one that sold the shit out. So they're going to come after him. Rock's gonna
ass name.
Kung Pao.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept them grapes clean though. He kept his grapes. He was the, that's the one that ran. They ran from the law. The law. So he kept them grapes clean, bro.
I'm like, man, the fives. I had to think a little bit.
I'm old school, bro. I call them by their original name.
Man, get out of here.
I'm old school. What you want me to do?
That nigga didn't call them shits in that.
This is gonna sound really bad, but like, I don't give a fuck about this whole jukebox and the white girl story, man.
I don't understand it, and I'm just trying to, like, it's kind of I don't think it's needed, but like, I'm also trying to see where it gets with jukebox. I understand she's trying to make a music career. Right. I understand that she's, you know, not trying to get a handout and she's trying to do it her own way. But then it's like love triangle, which I feel like is added, but I feel like wherever the dark turn is going to happen, whether it's the white chick getting killed, coming to the hood, or, you know, jukebox getting caught and going to jail for a long time. You know what I'm saying?
No, because she's not gonna go to jail because she becomes a cop one day.
Oh, she becomes a cop. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
that would be very bad. Cop. Yeah. Yo, if they slip up and do that, that'd be crazy. I'd be like, oh, come on, Power. That's just not gonna they're not gonna make it add up.
And then jukebox died. Yeah, she got shot. But then she came back to life. Just like,
what's the meme? You know what happened? The little
I was like, oh shit, these niggas came through with the Dracos. I was like, oh, bop,
bop. Oh, you're the Soulja Boy shit. No, I was talking about Fat Boy, the fat kid with the paper hat on.
Yo,
yo, shout out to Soulja for that story too. That's one of the craziest stories.
That nigga a habitual liar, bro. He's sick, man.
But he's looking out, man.
He was the first one to really live a Grand Theft Auto lifestyle.
You know, if you tell the story right, it don't matter. Nobody cares, man, whether it's real or not. Nobody cares if it's real or not. They just care about, like, if you told it right. But, no, I think this is what's going to happen. I think white girl going to OD. Maybe she's going to get on crack or some shit like that. It's going to be something that was introduced to her by a jukebox. And then, or maybe she gonna get killed.
I'll be getting anxiety because I'll be thinking the parents gonna bust in.
That's very fly.
Like,
that was very fly of you.
Yo, why she just don't sell that jacket and get the bread? Like, I don't understand. That's her whole MO.
Because the white girl about to fund her, bro. She about to be the sugar mama, the little mama.
Yo,
little sugar.
I know this is super duper fast forward, but do y'all think jukebox becomes a cop? Because one of the, like, you know, one of the brothers or Rock, whoever's still alive at that point, like, yo, it's like, yo, be a cop. And you know, or Kanan's like, yo, be a cop and be on the inside. So we good. We running it both ways.
Yep. Definitely a Kanan move.
Yeah, it would be a Kanan move.
Because they got to show how smart Kanan is, right? They always got to prove that, oh, this nigga's smart, though. Y'all don't know this shit, but this nigga's smart. jukebox, man, like, the funny thing, I've been thinking about that a lot. Is like, are they going to do multiple seasons of this? And if so,
first and foremost, 50 is going to get multiple seasons for 50's story. Right. let's keep that all the way real. If Power Book 2 can get a second season, yeah, this has 3 to 4 seasons written all over.
That's the funniest shit though. A book 2 getting a second season.
Is it? Yeah, for real.
I don't even know how to word this shit nowadays.
Yo, is it going to lead up to, like, him meeting young Tommy and young Ghost?
I think so.
Oh, for sure. You got to. They have to literally give us all this pre stuff. Well, this is probably the only pre one because I think the Tommy one is supposed to be him on the run in Cali or something like that right now, right? Yep. Yeah. Which I think I'm kind of cool on that. I don't really care about Tommy being on the run in Cali. Yeah, but you got to give us, he's got to give us multiple seasons on this one, and he's got to make it connect. Otherwise, it's like, what's the point of doing this?
Yeah, I guess. What else? What other storylines that happened in the episode? I'm trying to think.
Oh, hold on. I think I took notes too. Hold on.
Did oh,
I
yeah.
Look at Jer.
Sincere killing his homie, or not sincere. My bad. I'm thinking about Belly. Unique killing.
Because the homie snitched.
Did he snitch?
I don't think he snitched.
I don't think he snitched.
He's a base head, right?
Yeah.
Yo, all that's supposed to be Dapper Dan type apparel too, right? That he's rocking, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, he's supposed to be some custom.
I'll give them their credit. They've done a very good job with the gear.
Oh yeah.
And making sure shit adds up. They're having the biggest drug dealer from, you know, from wherever, like have outside, like all the custom shit from Dapper Dan. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but I was trying to figure that out. I was like, that nigga snitch? I was like, no, he didn't. Like, then I forgot, like, yo, how did they find out that the drop was gonna happen? And that was because the plug who mm-hmm. serves both sides told Rock, mm-hmm. right? Or at least
his assistant. Not the plug, his assistant told him.
That was bruh from The Wire, right?
D'Angelo.
Yeah.
Oh, no, D'Angelo's the plug. Was,
oh, D'Angelo's the plug, yeah.
He's Jervis, right? The assistant is the one that
told.
Where's Wallace? Show. Where's Wallace?
That's a sick voice you just used. But in the most power fashion, like, definitely this show is kind of all over the place. I'm still enjoying it. It is not. It's good bad TV. I need my good bad TV fix.
It's better. It's better. Let me say this. It's better than the last 3 seasons of regular Power.
Facts.
And it's
and Power Book 2.
At this point, I thought Power Book 2 was actually also solid. Better than the last 3. It was solid. It was also better than the last 3 seasons of Power, but I think I like this more than Power Book 2. I mean, I guess it's just cuz I look at Tariq, I'm like, no way. The whole time I'm like, no fucking way. Mm-hmm. But now I, honestly, watching this, now I see why they made Kanan like Tariq. Right, because at some level, the niggas was kind of alike, you know.
Yeah,
well, that's a good deep dive into it. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I wonder. Here you go. Real question: when they made him like Tariq, did they already have that in mind for Power Book 3 or whatever this is?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is called retrocon. Retcon. Mm-hmm. They go back and fit that shit in. Like, hey, why did that nigga like Tariq anyway? Oh, you know why? Because we do it this way, whatever.
Yeah,
got you.
You see a little bit of himself in him.
One last thing I'm gonna say about this episode. Did you guys know that Ralph Lauren grew up in the Bronx and was poor?
I seen. Yeah. So I actually seen a documentary on Ralph Lauren.
Oh yeah, about Ralph Lauren.
Mm-hmm. He has a dope story, honestly, and he wasn't making shit. He was kind of poor for a minute. Him and his wife used their last and shit to like how he got on. But he
does it give credit to us as the people that started wearing polo and making it fucking fly that everybody. I mean,
you know what's crazy?
You
know what's crazy? Logang is in the doc though. Like, oh, this, you know, the low life. Sorry, is it low life or low?
Low life.
Yeah, they got the tattoos and everything. They in it. They talk about when it hit the transition of like us picking it up. You know what I mean? But nah, he fuck with it. He cool. He just got like a weird obsession with, you know, America. Like, bro, like the truest American family. You know what I mean? That's why he started etching the flags into all that shit. And how he do?
Well, he gets the witcher calls though, right? Or you're saying that. His love for America was before he was getting like all the deals with Olympics and all that. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, he got like a horse ranch. He has this like type of place where he goes and does the photo shoot and shit. Like, he's to the T of everything. Like, how he got on, I think, was the ties first. He's explained how he got on. He started making ties. That was it. And then it got into the other shit. And when he got into like whatever the the stores here. I don't want to say Macy's because that's like a loose name, but one of the big department stores, then that's when they right. start carrying this stuff. And he still didn't make enough money. He had to go through other shit. But like, yeah, they talk about it in the doc.
That's wild. I want to watch that, man.
Yeah, you should really fuck with it though. It's interesting, and it make you give him like, I don't know if it's like motivational for like what we do, but like if you was in fashion, I see why everybody else kind of obsessed with him and right. see why his blueprint of how he do things and how
right.
Polo has spanned it out to have umbrellas and suits and handkerchiefs and whatever, you know. So
yeah. All right. I'll give it a whirl. See, because I was like sitting here and I was like, part of me was like, now what are the odds they just made all this shit up? Because half the time, I was looking at the polo jackets. I'm like, is that a real polo jacket? Because I don't remember no. Instead of a polo logo, they got like a skier and shit like that. I'm like, that's not. I'm like, that looked like some Beverly Hills Polo Club, man.
And it's called Very Ralph.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer. And I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Very Ralph. That's
yeah, it came out 2019, yeah.
All right. Give that a whirl. Squeaky doors, clogged sinks, finicky engines. When things break down around the house, you take care of it. However, when something's off in the bedroom, you just try not to think about it. Nothing. I was just tired. I'm just stressed a little bit. Come on, man. What are you waiting for? Take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to GetRoman.com/BOM now. And if you do, you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. And remember, if you get started today, you'll save $15 on your first order of ED treatment. Other things that we're giving a whirl.
Oz.
We are rewatching Oz from the very beginning, from the first episode all the way through. We're going to learn out the backgrounds of all these characters. Many of the actors that you love to see, J.K. Simmons, he was in Whiplash. He's the guy in the Farmers Insurance commercials. my man, Christopher Maloney. You guys know him from Law and Order SVU, and also, you know, a bunch of other movies and things like that. My man from the is it Allstate commercials?
No, the general. You know, I think that's the general. I think he does the general.
No, not the general is the one with Shaq, man. No, it's not the general.
No,
yeah, the general.
Oh! Wasn't he the one that was with? What's that commercial Ice-T does? Didn't he used to do that commercial before Ice-T?
He does the one commercial where it's like, bad things happen. Anyway, actor's name is Dean Winters. You guys know him. He's the one where in these insurance commercials, Allstate Mayhem happens. There you go. It's Allstate ads, and he plays like, you know, it's like I'm a tree that just wanted to drop on your car.
He's the one who's always there when shit fucks up.
Yeah, I'm a 16-year-old girl texting on her phone while I'm driving. OMG, LOL, right? That dude. Yeah, like so. There's so many actors who either got a start on that show or like came through that show. And so and it was one of the rawest, realest TV shows ever. We decided, you know what? There's nothing great that's happening right now TV wise. Let's go ahead and give it a rewatch. So we're doing it 2 episodes a time every week. We told y'all last time you guys had already boned up. If not, here's your opportunity to start catching up. But the first 2 episodes, Jerv, you sent a text in the group chat, and I was like, oh, you know, you said like it doesn't hold up. And I was like, oh, you know, like I remember it starting slow or whatever. Then I watched them. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck Jerv talking about, man.
To the money. How it starts slow, it gets straight to it. The thing was, and you talking about the age bad, it ain't that. It's just how you, the visibility. Obviously, everything looks fucking foggy now. Because our TV's resolution wasn't 4K or, you know, UHD or whatever type of TV you got now. So think about you watching that on your bubble back ass TV, size 27 to 40, right? Because if you had a 40, damn near 40 is a big screen low key.
Yeah, 40 was your whole house was a TV.
Right? So, and this is 1997. So think about, and you have to view it in that eye. You can't view it from a 2021 eye.
Jerv, are you talking about visually or are you talking about like, content?
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely not talking visually. I think it, I don't know, like I just don't, I think that we've gotten such good stuff since Oz, you know what I mean? And I think it just, I don't know, like it was boring to me. Like I don't even know how to describe it. Like I found myself not being able to get through the second episode. But I know it gets better, but I'm wondering, was Oz a great, where I'm at right now, I'm wondering,
it's the start off though. That's how we got those great shows because.
So that was what I was about to say, but did we look at Oz as being great because it was something we've never seen before? And now that we've seen tons of stuff, it makes you look at Oz and go, oh, it's just okay.
Look at the Oz impact on, like Amin said, right? Yo, you look at that shit and he say, I think you had a conversation with your dad watching it, right? Where you were like, damn, like this is the rawest part of jail. You normally hear it in music, you see it on TV, but it's not as raw and straightforward. Like it's naked. I mean, it's nudity, it's violence, it's you know, showing the different groups as far as like you got Aryan, you got
My nigga Miguel Alvarez got stabbed in the first 2 minutes of the show.
Didn't even last.
I forgot about that. Like Alvarez, because Alvarez is a survivor. Spoiler alert: this dude, yo, they gonna try and kill him like 800 times and he'll never die.
But which one's Alvarez? That's the one. That's the one that had the car accident.
No, Alvarez is the one where his father's in prison and his grandfather's in prison.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And his baby's about to be born. Dude's name was Alvarez. What the fuck am I thinking?
He's a third generation prison baby.
Prison baby, right? But like I forgot, like the opening scene is that like they're coming into intake, him and Beecher and one other dude, and he gets fucking stabbed before they even get inside the
first
jail.
The first junk. Everybody in line, they look back, bro. Got the banger straight to the rib. ASAP. Welcome to the life.
No, they didn't pat my man down before he came in the joint. Like, how does that happen? But see, we didn't think that. Like, that's a serious question. That's bad. That's bad television right there.
But it's not bad television because you know, I mean, I ain't telling on nobody, but like, it's access to everything, player.
No, I hear you. I felt like there was like 30 guards like all around.
It don't. But think about who's on the payroll. Think about who knows who. Come on, man.
All right,
think about contraband. Think about everything else that's going through in that system. It's niggas now that can be like on the gram, nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know that's the irony. Like when Dino Ortolani gets burnt up, and he's like, "Yo, he was in protected custody, and he was tied down, and he was doped up." It's like, how? What kind of prison you running? You doping prisoners now? And then McManus says to the guard, like, what kind of guard staff are you running? Because clearly somebody got in, and that's the reality of all prison stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, no matter what you want to say, it's like these drug. It really is a metaphor for America. It's like, you mad about the prisoners selling drugs, but like, they don't make drugs in there.
Yeah,
they had to get the drugs from somewhere. How do you get them into a prison? It's not like they're leaving the prison to go out. Mm-hmm. So clearly it's coming in. You know, so, you know, how do you stop that shit? Same thing with weapons, same thing with everything else. And you see it in the way everyone's like making connections and everyone's kind of greasing palms and stuff. So I think Oz, I get what you're saying, Jerv. It's not quite as sophisticated as the shows that came after it. But it still was the first, and to my mind, still the only show that really, like, this is what prison is like.
It got HBO jumping and then Wire.
Yeah. Yep. Like think about it. Like, motherfuckers, like, normal people are like, oh, I love Prison Break. But, yeah, like, Prison Break ain't shit.
Or nah, it ain't shit compared to Oz.
Even motherfuckers like, I love
Shawshank Redemption. I never watched Prison Break.
It's whack. And then even people like Shawshank Redemption, which is a great movie, one of my favorite movies.
Good movie.
And they showed your man Dufresne or whatever getting his ass beat in the bathroom. And Morgan Freeman's like, I could say that was the last time the sisters picked on Andy Dufresne. But no, he'd be raped 17 more times after that until one day, right? Like, they kind of talked about it.
That was a great impersonation, by the way.
Thank you. They get a little vibe. Oh yeah, prison, man. They just fuck with you just to fuck with you. Oh man, prison. The guards are in the pockets of some dudes. Oh man, prison. Motherfuckers out here raping dudes or whatever. But Oz was like, you think about Schillinger coming in, grabbing Beach and telling him, like, yo, I saw Adebisi fucking with you, da da da, like befriending him and shit. Mm-hmm. And then that night, talk about
you, my bitch, now
your ass is mine.
But yeah, that was cold. That was a cold ass move, too.
I would say the coldest move, man. The first night Beach was in there, and he's roommates with Adebisi, and he all scared and shit. And Adebisi says, relax, I'm not going to fuck you tonight, Prag. And then he says, not yet. So I watched an interview with the dude who plays Adebisi.
Mm-hmm.
It should surprise nobody. Of course, he's British.
Yeah.
He's a British dude, right? So he said his agent said, hey, he was living in L.A. and his agent said, I got an audition for you here in New York. So come to New York and let's, like, me and you test out some shit. And then we'll present to the casting director. So he goes to the agent's office and they shoot him trying different accents. He said he had a British accent. He had a French accent. He did like all these different accents. And then he did the Nigerian one, the African one. They sent it to the casting director, or actually to the show creator, Tom Fantana. And he said, yo, we want you to do the African. And then he said, for the rest of the series, first of all, he's only supposed to have like two or three lines. But he killed it so hard
that they wrote him in.
They wrote him in. Two, the Tom Fantana, the showrunner, whatever, they would write his lines in like regular English, and because of, like, we don't know Nigerian slang and shit like that,
mm-hmm.
you're free to interpret it. So he said, I would do a scene, and the director was like, cut. That's not what the script says. And the showrunner said, fuck it. Well, however he said it, that's how I want it done. So that's why Adebisi was like such a well done character, because it's literally this dude pulling on like childhood you know, he's obviously a Nigerian immigrant or whatever. His childhood, like, influences and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of dope.
Yeah, that's sick. I wish he would explain how the beanie stayed on his head. Shit. That motherfucker was leaning, bro. Him and KG, the only niggas I know how to... Nah, because KG keep that motherfucking hoodie, bro. You know, the hoodie.
Oh, yeah. KG hoodie. That was a thing.
That's legendary, yo.
I don't know how the hoodie be standing at one spot. That nigga can be moving everywhere. Maybe it's the stubble from the bald head or some shit.
He also got a pointy head. So I think it's like almost like a hook. Like
but it be like on the edge, bro. It don't move. Like, that's very rare, bro, that like it don't cover over your face or don't do no weird shit. Like, the nigga be doing. He was on the KG21 show or whatever. The Area 21. Bro was doing all the little shooting shit. That motherfucker did not move, bro.
Yo, T.I. also had the beanie on that precariously on the crown of his head over there. I'm going to throw in Memphis Bleek, tilting his fitted forward.
Sick tilt.
Yeah. Who else has a natural headwear?
Man, there's so many people that done did that shit, bro. That just be you know, they shit on lean. Neo, niggas be having. Yeah, no.
But yo, Neo, because... That nigga got the Brontosaurus head, man. Like, but nah, man, getting back to Oz, I'm thinking about kind of stuff that happened in the first two episodes that I watched. They keep talking about a riot. We don't want a riot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even have to say spoiler alert. You probably figure out a riot will happen.
Yeah.
It ain't happening.
Many riots happen in this show.
Yo, right? how many times did conjugal visits got taken away?
Them niggas got so bad, yo. When they in the day room and they talk about the governor, talk about we're gonna get rid of these conjugal visits, niggas start throwing milk cartons at the TV and shit.
Man, I think
I'd be mad too.
I think my favorite part though is when they show how niggas ended up in jail.
Yeah, oh yeah. And prison when number 95S.
When my nigga Leon walked up, bro, and shot the bride and the groom.
With a vest and no shirt on underneath.
He was gangster. He dropped a gun. He's like, I want to get married.
Yeah, that is sick. That thought right there is what made him want to get married too, by the way.
Hey, it was so many niggas though. Even though
his girl's a rider though for him, bro. That's
my
love.
Man, my man, how about my man Augustus Hill, man?
How did they pick Augustus Hill out of everybody to narrate that shit?
To narrate?
He also said Spike Lee kind
of
to me.
Off of a ledge, dog, with his hands cut.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. But I, you know what's crazier? The fact that that nigga can get hard and nut, but can't feel that shit.
That remind me of
you don't get any pleasure at all.
that remind me of Gang Bang Vet by Ice Cube. He got a song on War and Peace, and it's just like that, where he talking about he in the wheelchair. And I used to listen to that as a kid, and then when I seen his character, I thought about that. It was sick.
Shout out to Augustus Hill. Let me just say right now, man. I remembered after watching the first couple episodes, my two favorite characters in Oz by far, than everybody else. Ida BC, and then Ryan O'Reilly. Because this nigga is the slipperiest motherfucker in the world. In the world, man. The way he weaves in and out of shit, like, just, I've never seen anybody kind of maneuver that shit as well. Like, I always thought to myself, yo, I never want to go to prison. But if I go to prison, I got to find a way to be Ryan O'Reilly. Just be always evading and dipping and dodging and shit. Just, like, smart talking my way out of everything.
He looks like a scumbag too.
Looks like a scumbag, walks like a scumbag, talks like a scumbag. When he walked up to your man Leon and said, "Hey man, we got to give up Johnny Post." He said, I don't care what that's what y'all do. We don't do that shit to brothers. Like, all right, man, but Nino Shabetta. So what do you want to do? He said, "We just chill, let that shit fade." He's like, "Sicilians don't let shit fade, man. Nino never gonna give this shit up." So then, like, when he went and talked to the cop was like, "I know you had something to do with it." And as soon as I find the nigger who did it, he's going to sing. And the only name he's going to be rapping is yours. Next scene, my man walked right into Nino's cell. Nino, I know who killed him. He said, fuck this shit, man. Then shout out to my man, Johnny Post, legend to the end. Mm-hmm. Johnny Bones, even though they said, kill him, start with his dick. Johnny Bones is just like, fuck you, you fucking Dago. What you going to do about it?
He only got quiet one time. He looked like, okay, this is it. I bet. I thought they was going to show it.
He went out like, weird, right? Usually Oz does show us all this.
Right. Bullshit. I was going to think like, damn, out of everything, they was going to do him like a motherfucking, what was that, Dead Presidents or Forrest Gump, where they had brush shit open and then I think he had his dick in his mouth.
Oh, Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Oh. No. It was Dead President.
Dead Presidents. Yeah. They cut him up all bad and
that's
shit.
A good movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Is it? I just like to let you all know what I consider good movies. You don't think good? Oh, come on.
You know what? It holds a special place in my heart because I seen it during my video rental days. It's a lot. Like I said, I be envying y'all when y'all do Cinephobe because y'all watch a lot of shit that I beg my grandma to spend $3 on. Right, like I think it was called Eddie's Video or something like that around the corner from my house. Uh-huh. And every Tuesday, my grandma would let me rent a video game or a movie. And I've
rented video games. Let me tell you right now, man, that was the biggest scam ever because, like, you'd be like, oh shit, and you go to the store, yo, let me get that live. Oh no, it's out. Okay, let me get that. It's out. So, what do you have? We got Live 95. I'm like, I don't want no two-year-old shit, man.
Well, what they would do, they would have the cartridges out, which is kind of probably a bad idea. Yeah. I'm sure plenty of people stole. But they would have the label on top, right? And, you know, obviously, you have all these titles. So when I would grab it, I would just walk it up to the counter. But I'm like 11, 12. And, like, I remember watching Celtic Pride. I watched Clockers.
Celtic Pride was funny.
Hold on. Yeah. What? You're 11 years old. Why the fuck would you want to watch O?
What is O?
The basketball movie with Mekhi Phifer. Because I thought it was a hoop movie, bro. I didn't really think about it being Othello. Nigga, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't throw some shit like that, but I was watching everything. I watched Last Boy Scout, Bulletproof. I'm talking about like every movie. That's why my movie range is so, you know what I mean, so wide because every time my grandma would be like, all right, here go $20. $20, dog. I'm renting up whole shit. And I'm watching three movies at a time, bro.
I'm trying to think. What was the movie that, oh man, yeah.
I remember the first time seeing Half Baked, bro. That shit was crazy to me. Don't Be a Menace was crazy to me.
Oh yeah, Don't Be a Menace that was a fucking legend.
I actually seen that in theaters. Players Club was my first pair of titties I seen.
I saw Dead Presidents in theaters and like,
yeah,
y'all, the hype leading up to Dead Presidents.
Yeah.
Because remember they did Menace Society, mm-hmm. and now they're doing a New York movie. And we're like, oh shit, they gonna do the New York shit. And Chris Tucker, you know, Chris Tucker at this point
was coming off Friday.
Yeah, he's coming off Friday. He's blowing up Lawrence Tate, obviously, you know, or you know, Love Jones and all that other shit he had done. And obviously Menace, he got to start on Menace. Mm-hmm. Who else was in it? Who was the girl?
I forget who she was. Is
fuck, man, but anyway, so it was definitely
homeboys in it, the borders and everything. There's always he's always like a bad guy.
Who, Clifton Powell?
Clifton Powell, man.
Is it? Yeah, Clifton Powell, mm-hmm. Bokeem Woodbine.
You remember Terrence Howard?
Oh, no, I'm thinking about Bokeem. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. Oh, Bokeem wanted a real nigga Hall of Fame, bro. You know, it's crazy. I seen a tweet about him the other day, and they didn't know who his name was. And I was like, I can't believe we lose recipes. Because Bokeem, I seen Three Strikes. I mean, not Three Strikes. Exactly. What was his movie? No, he had the one with
they were hitmen?
Fortune Teller. No, the Fortune Teller. Remember? What the fuck is that movie? It's with the fortune teller.
The fortune teller, Bokeem Woodbine. Let's see.
Tales from the Crypt.
Nah. He had. What is it?
Wishmaster too.
It was him.
The one I remember was The Big Hit. That's the one I remember. That was the one where he's it's him. It's Lou Diamond Phillips. It's Mark Wahlberg. Well, what's the fortune teller?
Oh, I'm looking through it right now, bro.
Freeway?
Nah.
Gridlocked?
Not Gridlock. He
caught up. Movie Gridlock.
Caught. Is it Caught Up?
Caught Up is crime drama film.
Yeah, that's the one. Caught Up.
Ex-con been serving time for drug charges. Now he gets plans to get his life straight, open up a nightclub, and be part of his son's life. His friend offers him $10,000 for the club. Oh, yeah. Psychic named Vanessa Dietrich. Yep,
yeah. Yep, that's it. Yeah. See, them movies I'll be seeing, like, bro, no, I was watching some sick-ass movies at 11 through 13.
I think I saw this movie.
Bro. I'm telling you. Y'all should do a centerfold on this one, bro. Like, it's 5.5 out of 10, but it's definitely one of them ones, bro, that's hilarious.
It's too good.
do Fat Beach.
Fat, oh my god, hell no, bro.
Do Fat Beach. Classic hell movie. No. Classic hell movie.
Hell no, bro.
$5 bin at your local Walmart. It's still in there.
I'll never forget Coolio's face on the fucking on the poster.
You so black when you get out the car, nigga. The oil light, come on, nigga. The oil light. Good times, yeah, man. Yo, so we got some anniversaries. I mean,
yes, sir.
I mean, just mentioned before we segue to the anniversaries. Check out Oz. We'll be watching Oz two episodes a week. Breaking it down. I'm gonna start a thread too, where I'm gonna just continue and see how far we go into the seasons and just look back at it. And just kind of live tweet it.
You got live tweet?
Live tweet.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah, that would be funny. I think, because I was just me tweeting, it's funny. Me just sending out the tweet, hey, we watching Oz.
Hashtag bomb Oz.
And I put the names of some of these characters, obviously, out of BC, Schillinger, Saeed, McManus, Augustus Hill, Dr. Nathan, Jiggy Walker, Jackson Vahue, Bricks Wangler, Sister Pete, Poet. And the responses, I got Bibadao and Busmalis for the win. I got my man Josiah hit me with no love for Dino Ortolani. I got where's Cyril O'Reilly at? It's just so my guy Andy Kamenetsky hit me with remember the Master P cameo. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember that shit? I'm telling you.
It's gonna get good, man.
It's gonna get good. I promise you. And the number of familiar faces you're gonna see is gonna make you laugh just to see them, in this show. I'm excited for it, man. I'll be honest. I'm so excited to go.
It's a great rewatch.
Trey, absolutely live tweet, because you're gonna see the people reacting to different things as you're watching it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm gonna run it back. I'm gonna start from the beginning and then just kind of create a hashtag and then we're gonna get it going. Yes, sir. So segueing into the anniversaries, we had Watch the Throne. Shouts to John Gervais pointing out the 10-year anniversary. And then we also had Usher's 8701.
My favorite album 20. From Usher.
Okay. I like that one too.
More Confessions. Than Confessions.
That's my Me Against the World of Usher.
Really? So, yeah, like a more Confessions. Like wow.
Yeah.
Then also another 20-year-old was, I think I had it in there. It slipped my mind.
Shit, man. I just saw it right now. We were just talking about it. It is 20-year anniversary of where'd it go?
We weren't just talking about it.
Yes, we were. We were. It was in the group chat. Philly's Most Wanted.
Philly's Most Wanted. Yes, we did.
Shout out to Jerv. Bubonic.
Nice face lit up. Go for it, bro. Go ahead. Jerv. Go on. Go crazy, Jerv.
First of all, shout out to Bubonic and Mister. Shout out to Southwest Philly. Shout out to everybody that was a part of Philly's Most Wanted. That's a group that does not get its flowers. They had just as much of a play in Neptunes and that sound as everybody else. They just didn't pan out or whatever. But You Out Your Ever Loving Mind and Push may be my favorite rapper out right now that's still relevant. But You Out Your Ever Loving Mind, if you think Philly's Most Wanted didn't influence or have some sort of impact on the clips, And that's all I'm going to say about that Southwest Philly stand up.
I will say I do like when Beans told the story about him and Bonic battling and how, you know, at that time they was, you know,
they was nice. Mister was nice, bro. Mister was nice as shit.
They was the hottest things in Philly, you know. I got hip to Please Don't Mind and Cross the Border because I had a two-way back in the day. This is ninth, 10th grade. And those were my two ringtones, you know what I mean? But I really it's MIDI tones, you know, when it joins us, doom, 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 doom. You know what I mean? And you'd be like, oh, do it really sound like it? Listen, what song is that? Playing guess what song it is, you know what I mean? But those two tracks, I remember frequently, you know, DZ at the time, he was my CD man, selling me Please Don't Mind. I mean, you know, the Philly's Most Wanted self-entitled album. And it was hearing the Neptunes, you know, the bling sound, because they didn't have that anymore. All that used to be,
bro,
going through it.
I forgot about Please Don't Mind. I fucking love this song.
It was a great song, bro.
They don't get their flowers, bro. They had a couple bangers.
That shit was a banger and a half. Please don't mind. Oh, that shit was.
I know Albasur now. Albasur Bonic is now a artist. He paints now, so he's out. Yeah, he's been painting. He's been killing it too. He got some dope shit. For a long time, I was fortunate to meet him and Ricky Hill in Sycamore, like 2011, randomly, back in the day. And I told him, I'm like, bro, I used to play this shit like crazy. You're a legend. I ain't loosely saying that, but like, you know, for what that Neptune sound and you know, like you known out here. A lot of people don't really know, but that's one of them. That's one of them jams that was fun. It was during the playful time of the club era.
Absolutely, man. I mean, even the video. I'm looking at the video right now, and it's just motherfuckers in a club dancing and shit, like
baggy
clothes, jerseys and shit.
You might have a rhinestone bandana in there here and too. It was the bling era, man. You know, the chains was long.
Do yourself a favor, not necessarily y'all, because I would hope that y'all have already heard this, but for those that haven't, please go back and listen to the best of. Best of Beanie Siegel one, the Cosmic Kev one, the infamous one that started the beef, I believe, or might have been two. But Bubonic and Mister are all over that thing. It's all of them, major figures, and Beans. No Freeway, not that part of the rock yet. This was the part that everybody thought was going to be the rock before they wasn't. Bubonic and Mister just killed that thing. Please listen to it. I promise you. If you liked what Kiss did, if you liked what Kiss did at the MSG, you need to listen to this shit. I promise you. That's I pray that you listen to this shit.
That's a lot of praise. Can you tweet it out? Can you tweet it out, Mr. Gervais?
I actually was looking for it today. I can't find it on
Look, that ain't gonna help. That ain't gonna help the listeners, bro.
All right, yeah.
Oh, YouTube. I got you on YouTube. I found it on YouTube.
That's what I'm talking about, bro. Post it on YouTube. Post it on your timeline. We're gonna retweet. We had the Bomb Podcast account tweeted as well. And then there you go. It can be a reference to what you're saying because I don't remember it, but I'm going to trust your words.
Oh, that's crazy. No problem. I got you.
Cross the Border was a great song for me. I do think it doesn't get enough love, obviously, because Please Don't Mind was fun. But Cross the Border kind of was the one for them. And then also, not to jump from them, but 8701, dog.
Yeah,
I don't even know where to start.
Two hit wonder motherfuckers. Like, let's talk about this. This shit was a mega blast fucking album from Usher. This was his third album. It followed up whatever the one that had.
My Way.
There you go. Yeah.
My Way, which was
a lot of people think My Way was his first album. It's his second album because they don't remember the album he did with Puffy
singing about grown shit.
Someone new. Don't make me lose my mind. So then, like, he was kind of like a middling R&B singer, and then he got with Jermaine Dupri, and he did My Way, and that shit fucking changed his life.
Had my nigga Tyrese in there. The video just, you know, he entered the world to Tyrese.
Oh, he was part of the gang?
Mm-hmm.
my way.
Yeah, he was on some cameo shit.
But what I say goes.
I mean, I don't know what bruh said when his girl got snatched, but he said, "I crocking it, Michael, a sweet nigga." I used to say that shit so many times, and Usher bruh had me wearing the Tommy Gear shit. The Scully cap, yeah, bro. Yeah bro. Hip hop ruined my life, bro. Because I was out here just doing it.
We was all out here doing it. That and Sir Benny Miles stocking caps and shit like that.
Yeah,
but 8701 comes out. And so, like, Usher's first album was misplaced. It, like you said, he was like a 15-year-old singing about grown men problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
His second album was more true to who he was as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the album of, okay, now I'm grown. I'm not Diddy's protege. I'm not Jermaine Dupri's protege. I am my own self. And, you know, I have a grown sound.
Also, and to me, he's 24 years old. He's dating Chili at the time. He started his career at 87. You know, this is a huge jump. And you think about where he's at 24, 2001. He's coming off of My Way. And you give us You Remind Me. You give us I Don't Know with P. Diddy. Then you got Twerk It Out. Then you got You Got It Bad. Those first of all, those first four is a tone setter. Yeah. You got You Remind Me. I Don't Know. Because you got I Don't Know What You Came To Do, Girl. What You Came To, then you got Puff on the ad-lib.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Twerk It Out. You Got It Bad. I wasn't crazy about If I Want To, but If I Want You, I Can Take You From Your Man. Please Believe It. You know, that one. I Can't Let You Go. That.
That was a Neptune's one, right?
Mm-hmm. You Don't Have To Call.
That's another Neptune's. Yeah. Okay,
so that was the first. That was the first time niggas ever seen the Escalade EXT.
Gonna be alright tonight, cause I'm way too young of a guy.
I had figured out the three, two,
oh, the dance, and then the car.
Yeah, that's what I said. They was the first ones to show the EX, cause nobody didn't know what the Cadillac, the EXT, bro.
Yeah,
and he was in there, The nigga had some Heelys. He sliding in the motherfucking club with rollers on. Like, it was a lot going on. And he had a koofy. He had a fucking koofy on over a durag. It was a lot going on. And he had the three-way pager that had the video screen with the earpiece. Yep. The nigga was a trendsetter. There was a lot of shit going on. Baggy jeans with some Heelys, a sleeveless shirt, a koofy over a white durag with an earpiece.
You know what? You know what?
And a chain.
That shit all worked somehow.
Back when Usher had the U-chain. God damn it, you changed.
Good times, man. That album, I have such fond memories of that album, man.
Yeah,
I just going out to the club, man, and like just being like damn near floating, man. Just like damn, 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 damn. You hear that shit come on?
Yeah, bro.
Situations.
He had three singles on this too. That's the crazy thing about it. You Remind Me, You Got It Bad, You Don't Have To Call. And U-turn.
I don't know what's a single too, right?
Probably. I'm only looking at the videos right now, so
still not better than Confessions, though.
I mean, Confessions was a little bit more tasty because when you look at it, everybody thought the drama was real. That was all Jermaine Dupri shit. And you thought like during the time it was real gossipy because you thought that was talking about Chili. Yeah. And it was easier to market. You know, and that's 2003 because that was 2 years later. So, and that's crazy how artists had those gaps enough to create, because how we consume music now, we get in a project every 6 months or 9 months.
No. You think so, man? It's funny. I was thinking about this the other day when I was listening to Blueprint, and, you know, the line where Hope says, Jigga held you down for 6 summers. Damn, where's the love? And I was like, wait a second. Reasonable Doubt came out in 96. Volume 1 came out in 97. Volume 2 came out in 98. Volume 3 came out in 99. Rock Love Family in 2000. Mm-hmm. Blueprint in 2001. That's six in a row. And then the next year, it came out with Blueprint 2. And then the year after that, the Black Album. Mm-hmm. 8 years in a row, this dude put out albums. That's not even kind of Streets is Watching soundtrack and all the other collaboration shit, Best of Both Worlds and all that shit. I was like, fuck this nigga. And you know what's crazy? You go through these albums and none of it is filler. There might be like two songs per album on like a 12 to 14 track CD. Two songs, you're like, I'm gonna skip this shit. And the rest of it is bangers. Mm-hmm. Bangers, 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 like 5-6 singles an album. Whoa, Jerf, just stop it right there. No. It's too much. We got to put this on overflow because the conversation is going to get really deep, really quick. We're going to talk about Hov's legacy and what comparing him to other great rappers of this generation, generations past, and Black Trey takes us down memory lane on how he was exposed to all these musics. Because, you know, he's a little younger than me and Jer, so this is a little 9-year-old running around cussing and shit. So we're going to get into all that on the overflow. You know, you got to be a Patreon member to listen to it, though. So patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you're signed up. As I said earlier, you get the Cinephobe Special Edition episodes. You get the live shows that we do every other Wednesday. And you get the overflows like the one that's coming to you at the end of this, the conclusion of our conversation, which really gets very interesting. Trust me on that one. Other than that, thank you for supporting. As always, I'm Amin Alhassan. That's John Gervais. That is Trayvon Edwards. This is Black Opinions Matter. Motherfuckers, stay black.